FM Radio.
Horsemen, nominate now for Penn National's biggest day of the season, the $400,000 Grade 3 Penn Mile. In the $150,000 Penn Oaks will both be run Friday, May 31st, on a card that also includes two Pennsylvania bred stakes, each with a $100,000 purse. Call the racing office at Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse, 800-233-8238. That's 800-233-8238. Nominations close May 15th.
Racing two-year-olds in California, Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action in thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and curly stands, the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts breeding program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best kept secret in racing, till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com.
Whether you're new to the racing game or just looking to enhance your operation, Hermitage Farm and Goshen can help you. We are conveniently located between Churchill Downs and Keeneland Racecourse and near world-renowned equine hospitals. With spacious paddocks, expert staff, and qualified veterinarians, we offer full-service boarding, breeding, and sales preparation, as well as post-operative care and layup services. Visit us in person or online at hermitagefarm.com.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Scholarships are available. Visit rtip.arizona.edu.
Sirius XM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough! Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back at Santa Anita. Just an absolutely, now a beautiful morning. I was surprised that you thought it was cold. I did not.
Well, this morning it was cold. The sun, before the sun came up.
Today I wasn't cold at any point.
I'm shedding layers as we speak.
You are layers. By the way, before I reach Eric Hallstrom, there's multi layers to the situation in Minnesota, and after we had brought it up last week, you may have seen some reference to introduction of a bill that would be devastating, frankly. I mean, not the absolute opposite of helpful. To not only would it prohibit HHR, but it would also injure, I mean, some of the structure that currently exists. So today is a key day. we know already in Annapolis, but also in St. Paul. So this needs to be watched today as well. Randy Sampson will apparently testify, and I'm sure there's lots of smoke-filled room elements to what's going on there. They've done everything right at Canterbury. I mean, everything. They tried the takeout experiment. That was really well-intentioned and noble. Subsequently they've tried to maintain, lots of player-friendly bets. And here they are, the Racing Commission, to their credit in Minnesota, tried to help and tried to, create a benchmark to get, perhaps HHR considered. And the thank you is the pendulum back right in their face that could ruin them. Speaking of player-friendly, it was more player-friendly than Eric Hallstrom and the team at Horseshoe Indianapolis. Happy opening day.
Thank you. And how about they schedule this eclipse for our opening day like this?
Well, that was really thoughtful of the interstellar authorities that are involved in the planning of eclipses. It occurred to me when I brought this up earlier that you were going to join us. I was not tracking this. I knew about it. Actually, I knew about it since January because of Marshall Graham. Marshall, who lives in Memphis, and he was talking about it back at the Eclipse Award evening, and that was the first time I saw it. I said, oh, yeah, they're supposed to be an eclipse later this spring. But I only started seeing this arc of totality in the last 3 or 4 days, and I realized, oh my God, Shelbyville's like the epicenter.
Yes, so I didn't know anything about this, and not that I've got anything against it, but it's not really my thing. I just have not followed this stuff a lot in my life. But last summer, Tammy Knox came to me and said, "Have you heard about this eclipse?" And I nothing. But explained, there's this path of totality, but if you get down to like the millimeter where it's absolutely perfect, it goes right past the racetrack, right past it. And so we figured we got to take a shot, because the next time it goes in this exact path is like 860 years, and I'm figuring I'm going to retire before then. So
Nobody retires from this.
Eric, it's Hammer here. Are you doing the full deal? You got to hand out the glasses and everything?
Yeah, we actually made a fun day out of this. We've got a couple thousand glasses to pass out. We've got Eclipse T-shirts free to hand out. We've got a band playing, a good popular local band that brings a good crowd to himself. So it's actually going to be a really fun day at the track. And I'm telling you, the city here is packed. I'm seeing traffic and different things that I've never seen in the time that I've lived here. But as it goes along, we're going to take a break for an hour and a half, let the people enjoy the full scope of the eclipse. But we actually got some good racing today, too. We got a couple of handicaps on the card, Indiana Breds that have been just waiting for opening day. So it's a pretty fun day out here.
Well, kudos to you and your team for jumping on this stuff. I like to do stuff like that, but this is worldly. This is otherworldly. It's great.
Yeah. So if you guys are watching today, I know you never miss a day of horseshoe racing when it's on. But if you're watching today, we also bought the most worthless piece of equipment of all time. Come 3:10 p.m. today, it's a filter for our cameras, for our racing cameras. Those $40,000 pieces of equipment that we can't, don't want to harm in any way. But we bought this filter, paid way more for it than you'd think. And after we hit submit on the order, I said to our TV guy, "Did I just buy this? And at 3:10 today, this is absolutely worthless for the rest of my career." And we looked at each other and said, "Yeah, we're gonna have to figure out a way we kind of sweep this one under the finance rug somehow. Nobody's going to be able to explain why we paid that much for a filter that's literally no good to us come through 310 today.
So you'll be able on the track feed, because it's going to be a 2 hour. Your sixth race goes off at 2:22 Eastern, and then you're going to take essentially just short of a 2 hour break till 4:15. You've got two quarter horse races that'll finish the card, six thoroughbred, and then the two quarter horses to wrap it up. So there's this 2 hour party essentially, you know, during the eclipse, and which goes at what, 3:08?
3:06.
So your cameras are going to be able to essentially show the eclipse live.
Yep. That's the plan, and if that filter better work, and it will. But that is our plan, and you know there's simulations online for every zip code in America what the eclipse will look like, and you know I'm guessing we'll have our lights on, you know our track lights on, probably in the fifth race. By the sixth, you know we'll need them, and then coming out of it, we schedule a little more time coming out of it just to give people time to do stuff, and we got the band and gonna have some fun around here. But this will be, if there's a day to watch and you're not, you know, just pounding away at the windows, this will be a cool one to see what we've got going. You know, really, really interesting that the line literally goes right past our racetrack.
It's amazing. And your credit to Tammy for alerting you, and for you that is always ready to promote in some interesting manner. Shelbyville, Hammers Aspen town.
I might send my wife over there.
Shelbyville, and just outside of Indy. Do we know, how do we expect the eclipse to treat Rachel? Will there be any unusual reaction?
I will say I've noticed a very odd, strange behavior out of her the last few days as we get closer to this eclipse. More so than normal. I almost,
which is saying something. You know,
yes. So I for no other reason I'd say tune in, because you might see something and hear something out of her today that we all shudder at.
you got to be prepared. By the way, she did a spectacular job again in Vegas at NHC. I mean, she was in front of every story, and I mean, it was, you know, had sort of news, the nose for news all throughout the ballroom.
That's cool. We're proud of her. That's for sure.
Let's get an overview to the season in general. And you know, coming off of a great 2023, talk about you put the new barns in, and talk about the stalls. Talk about what you anticipate between now and December.
Yeah. No, thanks. We we worked hard again this winter. This is it's getting harder and harder to get horses to travel and staff to travel. It's a legitimate thing, but I've got good news in that, you know, we could have housed another 300-400 horses here if we had the room. And you know, I think we just become a good resource in the region, especially sitting outside of Kentucky. We fit pretty well for some of the, you know, not the top string in some of these barns, but plenty of their others. You know, it's a good place to race. Our turf course is in beautiful shape already. I wish we could use it. We'll start there about May 1st, but I mean I think we're ready to go. We did a lot of things on track. If you do end up making it here, we demolished our old tote board and video board and put in a brand new one, state of the art. Looks a lot like the one at the fairgrounds. I saw that when I was down there and figured out, you know, some of what they needed to do. So we got a good experience coming, but I think you'll see the racing, it just keeps getting better, and our proximity to Kentucky is something we're taking advantage of for sure.
Well, you're the benefit of Turfway staying open year round surely can't be a bad thing for you guys.
It sure is a good thing. And you know, when you say that, Hammer, we had 600 horses here over the winter at training at our facility, and going down to Turfway and running there. So that I hope it goes both ways. I think it probably will. So that seems to be a pretty good connection there that we'll have for a long time, sending horse to Turfway, Turfway sending to us.
Yeah, that's great. And so you start today, and you have a long run, right? You go into November, is that correct?
November, middle of November, I think it's the 14th, but yeah, it's a bit of a long run. People get tired towards the end, but you know, we don't need the 4 months off. We just need a couple weeks, maybe give us Christmas and New Year's and be happy to start up again. So everybody's ready.
Watch what you say there. It might happen. Do you take any kind of a break during the middle, or is it you just go right on through?
At the end of July, we have a week break, and during that period of time, because the meet's so long, we work on the racetrack, and if there's anything that needs to be done, it's a good time for that. Also gives our employees, you know, now that we're open year-round, it's a training center for, you know, the winter months, gives some of our staff a time to get away for a little bit with their families or whatever they need to do. So, but, you know, essentially starting now and, you know, back up next week, you'll see us till middle of November.
I think it's great. And you've done such a good job of marketing through the years. I see it on. I'm friends of, you know, buddies at Ida when we you know, decide to play for a while. Your track ventures into the game plan now. And because guess what? The races are good. And I love when the turf races are good. And so kudos to you guys and your team. Again, you really, really like made the scene.
Appreciate that. I mean that too.
Yeah.
Once we get into one thing, I'll tell you, where nobody really has heard about yet, because we haven't rolled out the marketing piece of it. But starting middle of May, May 13th, that's a Monday, we're going to be offering our own Turf Pick 3 this year. And it'll be a $1 minimum at 15% takeout. And, you know, we think that the turf course here is something that we really can use to our benefit, and you'll see more of that coming out. But Turf Pick 3 coming up, you know, sometime in about a month.
Excellent. And you know, let's hit some of the date topics too, and get everybody familiar. Indiana Derby Day, July 6th this year.
Saturday, July 6th, be a great week, actually, during that time. We're going to, so July 4th being on that Thursday, we got a lot of local festivities planned and got some stakes on Friday the 5th, but then Indiana Derby Day and Oaks Day on Saturday the 6th, and that's turning into, you know, we're pretty proud of how that day's grown.
You've also got a handful of holidays that you typically run. Memorial Day, July 4th you'll run, Veterans Day, and of course you have the fabulous Veterans Day promotion, the fundraiser that has now become a regular item. You got the Indiana Stakes Day, Champions Day in the fall. You obviously had an idea to start the season with six Indiana bred thoroughbred races, which makes sense considering that, you know, there's still the horses making their way back to the region from their winter activities, and so more open company racing, you know, as the calendar unfolds.
Yeah, that's correct. If you go back in the barns right now, you'll see there's some empty stalls, but we're just waiting for them to come from Hot Springs or Tampa, or, you know, some are starting to even trickle in from the fairgrounds already. So I feel really good about, you know, last year our starters per race went up, and it was, you know, 8.0 basically, and hoping to do better. And you know, this, it's a hard business right now to keep increasing those types of numbers, but we prepared just like we did every other year, and I think we're in good shape.
Should mention too, you got some night racing, some evening cards in June, July, and August. June 17th and 24th, July 13th, August 5th, August 17th, 5:30 starts. You've got the Quarter Horse Saturdays that you've made popular and very cleverly. You saw the opportunity to, you know, schedule those morning cards that with some of the international racing. You take advantage of every unique opportunity.
Thank you. The Quarter Horse piece, you know, it's not something to even forget, because we are proud of how that program has grown. We'll have two graded stakes for the first time in our Quarter Horse program this year, the Miss Roxy Little and the SSA Futurity. that's a huge accomplishment for us, showing that the quality is getting better. Those early morning Saturdays have turned into just a really fun day, and people around the country have supported it, and, handles have gotten bigger each year. But our locals like starting early. One of the issues is they're breeding more horses, and quarter horses are so two-year-old heavy in terms of futurities and stuff like that, that a lot of these we need to start early because we got so many trials now. If we started at 2:10, we'd be here till midnight or something. Nobody wants to do that. So we're pretty much set. I hope some point in time you guys are able to come see us. We'd love to roll out the red carpet for you.
Well, I'll be there. I think we look good for Indiana Derby Day. So
great.
All right. So we'll come in a couple days early. Maybe the whole July 4th. The whole weekend. Eric Ahlstrom joining us opening day at Horseshoe Indianapolis, and the most notable, I mentioned Vegas and what happened with NHC, but it's amazing, Eric, what a great partner Caesars is for the game. It's so obvious that they believe in racing and they're committed to horse racing, and it should be embraced and appreciated by the industry.
Yeah, I agree. And, they have been extremely supportive. Just, in the last 8 months, we put a new awning on the front of our building. It's beautiful. We spent, $700,000 on that. Blew up the tote board, put in the state-of-the-art video board in there, all digital. That's another $800,000. So this company truly has put their money behind the racing, and that I'll be frank with you and say they're really happy with the results. They've seen the racing and the business grow here, and it gives them, they feel empowered to keep allowing us to improve our structures and the different infrastructure that we have. And I appreciate working for this company. They're very, very good people.
Well, we'll be checking in regularly at Horseshoe Indianapolis to become a regular part of the spring to fall handicapping, and just the racing too good to bypass, and committed to the middle part of the week, early and middle week, and that makes it well worth looking at. Big full fields on a regular basis, and dirt and turf that. There's so much to like about the approach that Indianapolis, Horseshoe Indianapolis has taken. Eric, enjoy today. We'll be watching, and it should be pretty entertaining. And I hope everybody enjoys it.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Don't forget, please watch today so you can see. Put that filter that I bought to use, so I have to explain it to everybody.
Millions watched it. You can put that in the report. And I hope that maybe one of my cross country road trips to make the turn into your spot. I tell you the truth, I've never really thought about it, but I'm going to put it on the radar.
Please do.
I will. Every time I watch it now, I say, I got to get there. So congratulations, and we'll look for you up in the solar system today.
Oh, thanks, fellas.
Eric Ahlstrom, Eric E. Ahlstrom on Twitter, and, of course, Racing Rachel and Tammy Knox and everybody, Brian Aragone. They've had a terrific series of handicapping contests as well, and they're really doing everything right, and it's very encouraging. And so it's fun to support it. And
you got a good man in charge. We just met Eric for the first time not that long ago, and
that was at Arizona, wasn't it?
Yeah, and obviously very impressed, and he's got ideas, and he's not afraid to carry them out, and that's part of the problem here. So congratulations to Eric and the crew there.
John White is making his way over. We'll talk to John. He's going to give you the first look at a morning line for the Derby, and in the meantime, Brett Brinkman is going to join us, and I'm telling you, Alva Starr had come back to get unsaddled or to get her picture taken, And I got people sending me texts. When are you having Brett? When's Brett going to be on? You know, you got to ask him about the mayor. And I guess these are, haven't they been listening? How many times how many times have you and I talked about Scylla, first of all?
Three or four times, Steve.
Right? And now Alva Starr, the most recent win. Anyway, a grade one. Unbelievable for you and Dale Ladner. And obviously she's going to be a force in the Philly and Mayor Sprint Division. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. We were awful proud of her, I'll tell you.
Deservedly, Brett. And what's interesting about this, I thought, above you know, just the fact that she won, she, for the first time, she won rating off the leader. I mean, she's sat very comfortably. And I mean, is this a maturity issue? Did you work on this? Talk about the approach.
Yeah, well, we've always felt she would. You know, it's nothing we really per se worked on, but she's always been pretty kind at speed. And, you know, we felt like in a lot of the races that she was in, if you watched the races, say the Prioress, I mean, she was neck and neck sitting there with horses beside her all the way to the turn. And a lot of those races, she's just, you know, she's fast filly. She's fast mare, and she's going to lay up close, and she's got a high rate of cruising speed. So in some of those races, it just put her up there. But we never had no qualms, and we never felt like it was a, you know, as they build it, a need-to-lead type horse, you know?
No. And in this case, Tyler Gaffalione, you could see, was sitting comfortably, and she was waiting for a cue, and she got it. And, of course, Red Carpet Ready sort of inherited the lead the way this race unfolded. And that isn't necessarily her comfort zone either. So, you know, here you were in the stretch and she took over, and it to me, and you know, I know that Vava was making steady progress and was getting closer, but Tyler had the whole thing measured in the late stages.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, Tyler, world-class rider, you know, just can't say enough good things about him and the way he rode her that day.
In terms of getting him back aboard, you know, you actually, you know, for a filly that is what, 5 for 8 with 3 placements, she runs for anybody.
Yeah, seems to. I mean, you know, I can, you know, I can bring up excuses on, you know, her second place finishes, you know, and try to explain them away. But, you know, we felt like we knew our shortcomings at every beat, and we tried to improve on them. I feel like the race we probably should have won that we couldn't do much about was the second place at Churchill. The timing of that race happened the way it happened, and we were trying to get some earnings going into, you know, the summer, and wanted to try to get that win under her belt at Churchill to stack some earnings in her department. But, you know, other than that, you know, the comeback race, we run into a really nice filly at Oaklawn, of Riley Motts. And then, you know, getting beat by Vavra back at Keeneland, you know, she had an edge on us having a 7/8 race that we didn't. And, you know, I think it was just racing, you know, the way racing unfolds that day. So,
well, got to ask before we talk about the family and you know, everything involved with sitting at the bar, the 7/8. I suppose up until this win, the assumption was out there that she, you know, the 3/4 would typically be her preferred trip. But this seems to change things, I think. Yeah?
It does. You know, she went out there and done it with a new dimension in everybody's eyes. And,
You know, now things, now I think it'll give the riders a lot of confidence in her that, you know, if somebody wants it, they can let them have it. They don't have to press. They don't have to make her be there. You know, and she's going to give you that punch and that good turn of foot that she has. And, you know, I think there's limitations there distance-wise? Of course I do. You know, I don't think I'm going to be looking for a one-turn mile for her. But I do feel like she's matured mentally. She has come our way in that department some. And, you know, we have some options now. We have some options on how things can set up.
Well, everything has set up pretty sweetly. And the story for with you and Dale Adner and the Into Mischief mayor sitting at the bar, even before I started talking to you about Scylla, I had been talking to Ben Colebrook and KK Ball about Club Car. For those that aren't aware, Club Car was sitting at the bar's first foal with Malibu Moon, then delivered Jack the Umpire with Bodie Meister. Then came Scylla with California Chrome, you know, 7 for $18 for $500,000. And now Alva Star with Lord Nelson. And in the pipeline, the Frosted Filly Walking After Midnight. She's next. She's a two-year-old. There's no three-year-old. And then on the ground, and I didn't realize this, the Gunrunner foal was delivered, a filly. And so the next two are in the pipeline, and God knows what, you know, what matings with Frosted and Gunrunner produce from this unbelievable mare.
Yeah, she's, I tell you, it's a storybook type setting. I mean, with this mare and what she's done for us, you know, she just continues to put herself back into these folds. And you know, her talent and her mannerisms. I mean, I haven't trained her and been around her since she was a yearling. You know, you see a lot of the her tendencies in a lot of these foals come back out. So she's really putting herself back into them.
Well, and she just, you know, a lot of times we talk about the stallion. John Sikora talks about, you know, flipping the switch the way stallions can do. In this particular case, she's obviously, the mare is obviously the switch, because she's getting it with, you know, well, not that Malibu Moon wasn't a star stallion, but, you know, for Bodie Meister and Lord Nelson, I mean, this... You know, this all speaks to her. This is all the and California Chrome, who you know.
I don't want to talk bad about anybody's horse, but I've kind of left her a lot of work to do with some of those stallions.
Well, out of curiosity, because you co-breed with Dale Adner, how were those decisions? I mean, did you guys work together at it, or are you in charge of the matings?
Well, no, Dale and I discuss everything. I mean, we sit down and hash it out. And, you know, some of them was made off of our budget, and some of them was made off of, you know, I feel like, you know, this horse would cross good with her. And, you know, it just so happened to, you know, to work all success due to her. But, you know, we kind of played it along and played with our budget as we went, and you know, got fortunate. And I did have a pretty significant hand in talking him into breeding to Gunrun. I pushed that one pretty hard. He you know, Dale liked the horse, don't get me wrong. He was a little bit antsy about the price, but you know, was very complimentary after the fact. But, you know, other than that, yeah, we just pick and we go. We've got a Cyberknife Colt on the ground buyer right now that is a really nice kind of baby at this stage of the game. And we're waiting days to Nyquist.
How about that? How about that? All right. So, yeah. And then what about the 2-year-old?
2-year-old's galloping in Louisiana. She's going through her lessons and starting into a very light breeze program at the moment. We just kind of letting her pick up her pace a little bit. And, you know, looks a lot like her mother. Just, you know, got the big hip and the deep gasking muscles and, you know, just kind of gets across the ground like she's going to have a little bit of zip to her. So we'll see where we go.
Well, they've all had zip. They're all stake winners. And what kind of a schedule do you anticipate coming out of this with Alva?
She didn't drop much weight. Didn't miss a note. We'll probably go back to the track midweek or so. And, you know, we're going to take a look, obviously, at the race on Derby Day and see what it looks like. It doesn't fit exactly into my schedule the way I want it to fit because I've got a goal in the summer for her that I really want to hit and then back in the fall again. But we're going to see. We're going to see how she trains up to it and how she's doing going forward.
Well, of course, Del Mar for the Breeders' Cup, and got to come away from this Madison win very confident about the 7/8 opportunities. And before I ask you to close it out, let me slip in, because you're following on the heels of Eric Hallstrom at Indianapolis, and it didn't go unnoticed that Proud Civilian looks like a likely winner in the fourth at Indy today.
Well, we ended up scratching
the day. Oh, you're killing me.
Yeah, they wanted us over there yesterday, and he left a little bit of feed in a couple of days, and we've had a little bit of temps kind of floating through the barn here and there, so we ended up taking him out. We'll live to fight again another day.
How many are you going to keep over there?
We're going to keep six. We're going to keep six up here in Kentucky for a while.
All right. How many Indiana breds do you have?
I've only got one Indiana bred.
Okay,
but,
this one. This is
just one. And he's Indiana bred, Delaware certified, and Virginia certified. Oh, so wow. I've got a lot of options with him.
Well, it, look at you. We've talked about that. In fact, I talked to somebody, I think, on Saturday here, actually Derek Lawson, I think I talked to about this, about the certification programs and all the extra money, 6 months in Virginia, what it means, you know, what you, you know, 20%, up to 20,000, I think. It's just a tremendous program that enhances, you know, for breeders, or whether you campaign your own or whether you send them through the ring, the Delaware certification, 90 days in Delaware as a young horse as well. Just amazing. And then whatever regional, you know, Indiana, Pennsylvania, New York, Maryland, whatever regional program offers, their normal numbers. Brett, and finally, let me also, because our man Richard Kent, he's like a proud Dutch uncle. Whether
he's my man.
Right, whether it's you or Julie Davies, every week there's another graduate of Richard Kent University that is out there making good.
Yeah, I tell you, Richard was a godsend in my life. We crossed paths. I was working for Bridlewood Farm. Oh, this is years ago when he came in as general manager, and what a guy. He's seen it all, done it all, been around. I mean, it's you could just sit for hours and visit with a guy like him. But we had a lot of good times together, that's for sure.
Well,
respect him eons.
Well, and you, he says that, and I didn't know this story, he said that you guys bought Serena's song together.
Yes, sure did. You sure did. That was an experience of a lifetime there, I tell you. I picked her out and reached and grabbed her and traded her for her mother, and the rest is history.
Well, Brett, you know how happy I am every time, you know, something good comes out, Scylla became a favorite. The club car was a favorite before, you know, we even started talking about the ones that are under your care. And now Alvastar achieves the grade one status that is you know, means so much in training careers, ownership, breeding. You know, this is a race that stands the test of time, the Madison. So congratulations to you and to Dale and to Tyler.
Well, thank you, Steve. I appreciate you calling. And like I said, I can't say enough about the team and the effort and what everybody's done to get us here. And, you know, it's just a dream come true.
Plenty more dreams out there, including Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. And there's no Echo Zulu to deal with. There's no Goodnight Olive to deal with. There's no, the most recent. You're now at the head of the class.
Well, from your lips to God's ears, bub.
I love it. Brett, thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
Brett Brinkman, and a conversation we were really looking forward to. Going to turn our attention and hand the microphone. We can't talk to John White without a microphone. John, good morning.
Good morning. I've got a little list here to go through. First of all, they've drawn the apple blossom, and we were sitting here a week ago and I asked Bob Baffert what the plans were or how Adair Manor was doing.
Right.
She's one of the nine entrants in the grade one apple blossom handicap.
Nice.
And she's assigned top weight. It's one of the few handicaps we have left in the country, and she's assigned top weight of 123 pounds. Horseshoe Indianapolis, Eric Hallstrom on, you had, and I just wanted to mention back in 2013, HRTV sent me there for a remote broadcast. It's one of my favorite tracks I've ever visited. Just a wonderful facility, friendly people. I mean, I urge anybody, if you can get out to Horseshoe Indianapolis, you really should do it. It's really one of my favorites of the 65 different tracks I've visited all over the world. One of those tracks for the Long Acres drinking game today. This is actual dirt.
Hold that up.
This is actual dirt from Long Acres when it closed in 1992. I carry it around in my car. I wasn't there. I was at Fairplex Park working for the racing form, calling charts. But my brother was there that day and got this and sent it to me. And I've kept it in my car ever since. So I wanted to whip that out. Also wanted to mention that where everybody's talking about this eclipse today, I showed this picture to Rick Hammerly last week on my phone. That is the horse eclipse, his skeleton.
Oh, yeah. That's a national,
now,
right?
I wrote this at Louisiana Downs for the Chicago Racing Form in 1980, a whole story on eclipse. They have a little eclipse award as the photo for that. And that was 1980. In 1984, my wife and I, Tracy, went to England, and she took me to a bunch of castles. And on the third castle, I said, gee, what is different about this castle than the other two we saw? So I was kind of complaining. And then she took me out to a thing called Stonehenge that I called Rocks in a Field. I said, we drove all the way out here to see a bunch of rocks in a field. So then I said, you know, I think that this skeleton of eclipse is around here. We asked John Gosden, and he told us, now, this isn't for public viewing anymore, but in 1984, he was on display at the Newmarket Museum. And so my wife took some nice pictures of eclipse, his skeleton. And so she retorted to me when I was complaining about the castles and Stonehenge. She said, you're the only guy that would take me to see horse bones. So that was, we're thinking about eclipse today. As far as Frankie Dettori, that was absolutely phenomenal.
Unbelievable.
And I texted his agent after four wins, Ron Anderson, and I said, four in a row, and then in caps, wow, congratulations. Here was his response, more chances, too.
There's no doubt.
Yep. But boy, he was already knowing that it wasn't gonna stop at four. Unfortunately for me, this will be another one of my hard luck betting stories of my life. I had Imagination singled in the pick six and would have hit the pick six. So I got a jockey who's won six in a row, and when I have him singled in the pick six, he gets me to neck. So that cost me from hitting the pick six. It paid $4,000. With Stronghold, I figure it might have paid $1,500, $2,000, somewhere around in that area. So Frankie came up a neck short for me for over a grand on that deal. And then as far as the Kentucky Derby that we're looking ahead to, it seems to me, and I think Rick might agree with this, maybe not, but Fierceness and Sierra Leone have kind of separated themselves from the pack, sort of like UConn and Purdue. And so I kind of feel like Fierceness maybe is kind of the UConn, because I think he will be the favorite of the Derby. But Sierra Leone's going to be right there, and I think they're both very deserving horses going into the Kentucky Derby, and I think these are the two best college basketball teams that will go at it tonight. I'm hoping for UConn, because I've added to my bet for UConn to win the title, and now if they win, I'll make $1,400 on UConn if they just win tonight. Not cover the spread, just win the game.
Rich Eng, too, is sitting on an 18-1 national championship.
Well, I don't want to blow that. I'll take the points and hope you can have your win. It'd be fine. I hope Purdue covers. But that's a good analogy. And once again, the game, I think, starts at 6 o'clock our time?
I think so.
6 o'clock California time.
So post-time.
So 9 o'clock back there. But good analogy. The two number ones eventually made it to the top in the big tournament, and these two are
kind of the two number ones going into the Kentucky Derby, I think.
And I think third choice, they'll be vying for it.
So we'll get right to the odds, Steve, you requested. Of course, this isn't the morning line. Mike Battaglia that makes the morning line, but these are the annual Steve Bick early Kentucky Derby odds.
Let me get my, let me get the sheet.
Okay, yeah, yep. Here, I'm going to grab Eclipse back.
I don't want to hurt that.
Now, one thing I used as something of a guide was Kentucky Derby Future Pool 6. Which now, that can't be a total guide because it closed before the big three stakes over that were run Saturday. Right. So, in other words, Sierra Leone was 7-1 in that. He's not going to be 7-1 on Kentucky Derby Day, or I'll be absolutely stunned. There's no way on earth he's going to be 7-1. So
we'll go over that. We'll go over that after you go through the odds.
Okay.
All right. I think I'm set. Hold on. Here we go. Go ahead.
Okay. We'll start off with who I'm going to make the favorite, Fierceness. Now, he was 5-2 in the Kentucky Derby future wager. I'm bringing him up a notch because of the fact that we're going to bring Sierra Leone way down from the 7. So I'm making Fierceness 3-1. Then we have Sierra Leone at 7-2. So, I was thinking about 4, but, you know, he could possibly even go favored. I wouldn't like completely rule that out.
How many points in making a line for the Derby? What's the point structure?
For me, it's 128, 129 points. The 3 is 25 points, and the 7-2 is 22 points. Then you jump up pretty good from those two.
For every young third choice.
8-1, which he was in the Kentucky Derby future pool.
Wow, interesting. That's a pretty big statement for a horse that comes from a race that hasn't even finished fourth or better.
That's right, and out of 19.
Right.
But he's different. I feel he's the best chance they've had. You know, Randy Moss pointed out how many of those were long shots of the 19. There weren't too many horses of the caliber of Forever Young in that department. So you have to kind of take that with a grain of salt. Then I go to Catching Freedom at 10-1. He was 12-1 in the Kentucky Derby future pool, but I gave him a little more respect at 10. Then at 12-1, and it was interesting to me to hear a fellow by the name of Rick Hammerly refer to this horse today, because I think this horse is going to get some attention that's just a touch. And I have him at 12. Then we're going to move up a notch. 15-1 on Resilience, coming off the Woodwind. Now, he closed at 76-1 in the Kentucky Derby future pool.
Well, and John, I mean, we can pick out horses afterward, but as you're going through this, Resilience at that number, out of respect for Mott, I mean, the wood is going to look soft on number power.
True. But it's to some extent Mott. I mean, honestly, that guy, you know, he deserves respect whatever he shows up. But I wouldn't argue with anybody that says he should be 20-1, because he was 76-1 in the Kentucky Derby future pool. That's before he won the Wood, and now he's considered, I think, in that group under kind of the big two, and then Forever Young and Catching Freedom. To me, that's the next kind of couple. Then we go to also 15-1 Door Knock, and he's kind of tricky. He's 12-1 in the Kentucky Derby Future Pool, so I raised him a notch. But I think he could kind of get lost in the shuffle. I think he's losing support as we go along. So I
agree.
He could go 20. But, you know, as a line maker, I don't want to err on making him too high. I'd rather err on making him too low. So I have him at 15. Then we got a whole flock of 20s. Stronghold. Now, the only reason I'm not making him 15, and by the way, he closed, as you mentioned earlier on your show, Steve, at 30 in the Kentucky Derby Future Pool. I would make him 15 if he'd gotten a better buyer than 89. If he'd gotten a 95 or 6 or 7 or something, I'd make him 15 for sure. But people play those numbers, and I think that, you know, hurts him in terms of how much play he may get. Another tricky horse is Endlessly. And I noticed in Odds Checker, he's getting respect. And his record is too good to make him 30, so I have him at 20. And he may not even run. But if he runs, I don't want to go higher. I don't want to go up to 30 on him at this point. You know, we'll see how he trains, and he might not even run. Also at 20, Track Phantom. Now, this is a horse I kind of think is interesting here. There's not a lot of pace in the race, and I think the addition of blinkers. And I know it looks like he's not going to want to go the mile and a quarter, but I think with the blinkers, he could get kind of dangerous. So I have him at 20. Just Steel, you've got Dwayne Lucas, I have at 20. You know, and he's a horse you could make 30, but I'm going to have him at 20.
I think he's got plenty of attention. And one storyline that can be included for our conversation, but is going to certainly come to the fore. It already, I haven't been watching the internet much, but I heard from Jerry Brown this morning. Irad Ortiz does not have a mount currently.
Wow.
And
think of that.
And neither does Jose. And the assumption is, as brought up by Mig, resilience will end up with Junior Alvarado. I mean, Mike Salido and Bill Motter are like welded.
Simpatico.
Yeah. So I would think that Alvarado ends up there, and there's nothing. And Alvarado actually is a good fit. So that's another horse eliminated. It feels like Rosario sticks with Track Phantom, but let's see also what happens with Deterministic. I mean, he might, as Mig said, he thought Clement would be hard pressed to go forward, but if he does go forward, he needs a rider. So you've got that question. Irad will draw money wherever he ends.
Absolutely, and deservedly so. By the way, in all the years I've been on radio and TV, I've never said Simpatico before, so that's kind of a first for me today. Honor Marie, I also have at 20, who was 26-1 in the Kentucky Derby Future Wager. That's another kind of interesting horse to me. I think that horse certainly. What's that?
It's my Derby horse.
Well, there you go. So, but I don't see him getting play to the extent of going even down to 15. I kind of see him, you know, in that 20 group. Mystic Dan, he's another tricky one. You know, I mean, I got him at 20, and you could make him 30 maybe, but, you know, I just don't want to go that high on him myself off of one kind of disappointing race after the big race he ran. What if it rains on Kentucky Derby Day? Certainly he's going to get some play.
Yeah.
So you don't want to be sitting with 30 and have a sloppy track. Then Deterministic, as you said, he's a question mark, but we're putting odds on these leaders with the points, so I have him at 20, which is raising him a lot. He closed at 12-1 in the Kentucky Derby Future
Pool. Wow.
So, you know, he's 30-1 in Odds Checker, so they're like completely off this horse, which, you know, and like I kind of, with Mig, I'd be kind of surprised personally if he runs myself. But if he does, I think 20's in the ballpark. Domestic Product, I debated between 20 and 30. I've given him 22, just kind of out of respect for the connections. And, you know, he's a horse that closes and could hit the board. And I think he'll get a little respect, not a lot.
That's a Tampa horse.
Yep. Then we go to the 30s. West Saratoga 30, who was 121-1 in the Kentucky Derby Future Pool. No More Time, 30-1. Who was 277-1 in the Kentucky Derby Future Pool, and the 2-for-2 Japanese horse Tio Password 30-1, who's 135-1 in the Kentucky Derby Future Pool, but he got more respect in Odds Checker, so that surprised me. He's getting a little respect over there in England and by Odds Checker, so that means somebody's liking him. And then the two horses I have at 50-1 are Catalytic, 50-1. He was 99-1 in the Kentucky Derby Future Pool, and Society Man, 50-1. 793-1 in the Kentucky Derby Future Pool. And I'll say at that price, I would put two. If I'd known that, I would have put $2 on him.
Why not?
Why not?
There it is. So there's John's the numbers. I mean, the only I would think the Track Phantom might be a little
high.
Could
be.
Just Steel too. Boy, it's going to be very hard, I would think.
But see, Track Phantom was 53 in the Kentucky Derby Future Pool, and Track Phantom 30. So I've got him lower than those two numbers.
I understand, but I get it.
And a big part of the pie is how much the two big horses draw. Because I wouldn't be shocked if Fierceness goes lower than 3, personally. I could see him at 5-2 or 2. And that eats up points again. That's going to push the others up. And Sierra Leone, he's kind of a question mark. I mean, I have him at 7-2. He could go anywhere from 3 to me to 4. 3, 7-2, 4. But like I say, he won't be 7.
So, one of the horses I'm wondering, and no one knows, is the 8-1, which I agree with the number. If that's going to stick, I could
well,
see
that's
that.
That's a wild card.
I could see that drifting up.
It could.
It depends if a horse. If you end up with a mojo horse, you're basically projecting that just a touch is going to be a mojo.
Yeah, that's right.
And
that's why
horse.
It was interesting to me he got mentioned. Out of all these horses, Rick Hammerly, out of the blue, brings up just a touch.
I hear you. The one wild card in here is where I read.
Yes.
Where Rushing, who he boosts out of a mount.
Can we run through the jocks real quick? Do we have?
Absolutely.
Let's do that from the top down.
Sierra Leone, Tyler Gaffleone, obviously locked in. Johnny on Fierceness. Flavian Pratt on Catching Freedom. Antonio Fresu on Stronghold. And so excited on Saturday coming out of it. We're speculating that Resilience gets the services of Junior Alvarado. Ruse Sakai on Forever Young. Umberto Rispoli should endlessly run. Luis Saez is married to Dornick. Florent Giroux locked in to Just a Touch. I'm going to assume that Anderson sticks Rosario with Track Phantom. I don't know. I mean, there's not enough potential movement. Jesus Castanon excited to ride in his second Derby with West Saratoga. And one of, as we said this morning, one of the 7 horses in the speculative field that has won at Churchill Downs. Just Steel is going to be a situation. And here's Wayne Lucas. Keith Asmussen deserves a Derby mount. But if Arad Ortiz comes calling with Rushing, it's going to be very hard for Lucas and the connections to turn down. To be honest, it would be an awkward situation, I think, for Wayne.
It would. But boy, I'm like you, Steve. I mean, if you get a chance to ride, it's like back in the day. If you had a chance to ride Shoemaker, or you had a chance to ride Pink Eye or Cordero, any of those, Bailey, Stevens, if you got a chance to ride an elite rider, and Keith Asmussen did a fabulous job and is riding quite well, but he's not as accomplished as Arad Ortiz, to say the least.
That's the big question here. Where are we?
Honor Marie,
Ben Curtis, and we'll see if there's any, potential. I'm sure that... That Witt is, being inundated to try to steal the mount from him. Honor Marie to me is a very viable player.
I agree with you.
Here's domestic product. Now Tyler Gaffleone rode him last, so here's where an Ortiz is certainly likely to land.
Yep.
The question is, if Irad somehow lands on Just Steel. Jose, I would expect would get domestic product. Isn't you've got them both at 20-1, but Just Steel feels just a little bit more of a live
That's a good point, see, because the last horse I lowered from 30 to 20 was Domestic Product.
And he's got more recency, he's more in people's
that's
minds.
That's right.
That's
a point, too. And it's Lucas, yes. You know, who's won 4 Derbies versus Brown, who's won 0.
Catalytic, and I Julian Leperoux, and I'm looking forward this week when I get home. I think Wednesday looking forward to getting Julie Davies on to talk about Catalytic, who, John, you've got at 50-1, there's probably we'll obviously we've got 3 weeks to examine everybody in this field, but I'm anxious to get Julie on to talk about what has transpired to get Catalytic there. Julian rode him in the Florida Derby. Deterministic, we've already discussed. I suppose Society Man is eligible. Louis Rivera rode him. What complaint could West Paces and Danny Gargan have? But considering some of the available names, Manny Franco is another name that has yet to be mentioned. Manny, I think Manny had ridden Society Man. So
first
maybe,
time out.
Right?
First time out.
Yeah, there you go. Manny maybe instead of Rivera for Society Man. Brian Hernandez, obviously, from McPeak and Mystic Dan. Javier Castellano on No More Time. And Kaz Kimura has already accepted the call on TO Password. There's your speculative assignments.
Now, one thing I wanted to mention... piggybacking on Rich McGlory, I think people are getting a little confused in terms of those of us that have focused on horses that have the capability to be first or second with a furlong to run in the Derby. We're not talking about speed horses. We're talking about come from behind horses that have the capability to make the move on the far turn in an upper stretch to be in that prime position with an eighth of a mile to go. Why do we say that? Is because 56 of the last 61 Kentucky Derby winners have been first or second with an eighth of a mile to go. That's 92% of the winners. The only exceptions going back since decidedly in 1962 were Grindstone, Giacomo, Animal Kingdom, and Rich Strike. So it can be done, yes, but do you want to be in the 8% group? Or the 92% group. I'm a 92% group kind of guy. And the problem with Sierra Leone is I don't think he's going to be first or second. He's going to have to be one of these exceptions. So just for me, that is a problem with him. Now, he's so talented. I mean, look, he wouldn't even go into the starting gate, for Pete's sakes. And he's green as grass still. And I had 200 to win on Just a Touch. And I'm counting a nice $600 profit at 3-1. And here comes Sierra Leone and just mowed him down like nothing. So believe me, I'm not taking Sierra Leone lightly. But as far as trying to pick the winner of the Derby, there's a much better chance Fierceness will be first or second with an eighth of a mile to go than Sierra Leone. So that, and even the horse I personally like, which is the Japanese horse, Forever Young, I think he can be first or second with an eighth of a mile to go. So that's one reason I still like him as my pick. But Fierceness is the horse to beat to me coming into this. The 110 buyer tells you that. He's carried his two-year-old form into three, and he's got the he doesn't have to have the lead. He can sit just if somebody wants to go out there and set the pace. If nobody does, he can do it. So to me, he's the horse to beat. But look, I have total respect for Sierra Leone and can't blame anybody for liking him to win the Derby.
You mentioned that 92%, and that's taken into consideration. Rain,
yep.
Slop,
yep.
Bias inside, bias
yep.
outside, all that stuff.
That's
so
right.
That's unlike Dosage of years ago, this is a pretty powerful stat.
Well, it's powerful, and not only that, but think of the comfort bind horses that were first or second with an eighth of a mile to go, like Orb or Mind That Bird. Those horses they came from the clouds, but they were first or second with an eighth of a mile to go. I question whether Sierra Leone can do that. Now, he's improving, he's blossoming, he's maturing, so maybe he will. But until he proves it, I can't go with him because I feel he won't be first or second with an eighth of a mile to go. So as I say, with Richie, it isn't whether you're a pace setter or a stalker or you're up there close. The key we're looking for is a horse first or second in what I call the prime position to win the race.
Well, it's fun. We're a month out, and you've already dashed a lot of people's dreams of horses they were going to take looking at the PPs, but that's an incurable stat.
Well, I stumbled across it, like 25 years ago, and it's proven through even, Rich Strike. Was Rich Strike the best horse in that Derby? No, I think Epicenter was.
Sure.
So, Rich Strike, if Epicenter wins, that would be one, it'd be higher than 92. Yeah. But Rich Strike won it fair and square, and he deserves the win. But there's even a case where, to me, it was kind of a fluky win, any way you slice it. If you ran that race 100 times, to me, Epicenter is going to win more of the time than Rich Strike.
So here it is again for everybody. And we'll run it down quasi in the order of the point standings, but in the order of price. Fierceness, 3-1 on John's line. Sierra Leone, 7-2. Third choice for Ever Young, 8-1. So potentially three single-digit odds, sets of odds. Then we go to 10-1 on Catching Freedom as potentially fourth choice. Just a Touch, and to me, it's a slight surprise, John, that you make Just a Touch the fifth choice, 12-1. Then 15-1 on Resilience and Dornick. Then up to the 20-1s, Stronghold, Endlessly, Should He Go, Track Phantom, Just Steal, Anna Marie, Domestic Product, Deterministic, and Mystic Dan, all 20-1s. Then 30-1s, West Saratoga, No More Time, T.O. Password, and then 250-1s, Catalytic and Society Man. The first look, John White at the races, morning line.
Early odds.
Early odds. All right. That's morning.
Because the morning line is Mike Battaglia.
All right. So early
working. That's the real morning line.
All right.
And by the way, I'm a little reluctant to make 50-1s because we don't see horses go off. We've had these upsets like the Rich Strikes.
So everybody gets bet.
And so, I'm not a, but so I really feel I have to be positive or as I can be that a horse is going to get neglected to the tune of 50-1 or higher. And I'm not like 100% on those two because these horses do get some play these days because people are kind of shopping for those Rich Strike type, Giacomo 50-1, which by the way, I had closing argument in that race.
Oof, and 70-1.
Yeah, 71-1 paid $70 to place, which was the record until Rich Strike. So that's another reason I kind of, Rich Strike's not one of my favorites, but because he broke that record.
But anytime you have a situation like this where you have two big favorites, things happen and they don't.
That's right.
They don't fire.
That's
for
right.
Whatever reason.
Well, and how many times does the best horse not win the Kentucky Derby?
Yeah, it's all.
I had Looking at Lucky. What happened there?
He drew the rail.
Yeah, and my dad said Baffert should scratch, and I said, well, the rail's bad, but I don't envision Bob Baffert scratching the 2-year-old champion and favorite for the race. And after the race, my dad says, "See, I told you he should have scratched."
So we'll see. The next step will be actually who enters, and then of course the draw. And
Point Given is another one. I was sitting right here in the press box at Santa Anita next to Kurt Hoover, and when he won the Santa Anita Derby, I said, not only is this the Kentucky Derby
winner, he is
a Triple Crown winner. We're going to end the drought.
Thought so too.
And then I watch him, run the worst race of his life at the Kentucky Derby.
Well, he wasn't 100%.
No, exactly. I hammered him in the Preakness, and I bet him even bigger in the Belmont, and he won that in a Secretariat-ish type performance. That was a tour de force by Point Given that day.
What a big good-looking horse he was.
Wasn't he though? Oof. just a gorgeous horse. What are the great trainers of all time walking by us? Neil Dry, and he won the other day with the debt.
Finally got the debt over the line here at Santa Anita, and boy, she put on a pow. She wasn't first or second at the eighth pole.
I have to chuckle because Kurt Hoover said on FanDuel that he's been betting her forever. And years ago, he came up with the phrase, it's true, we get an obsession horse, and he hopped off her that day. And that was the worst, because you bet them and bet them and bet them, and then you finally say, I just can't go again, and here they go, right to the finish line in front.
just looking, you know, we didn't give all the details from the pool that closed at 4 o'clock on Saturday, and I'm just looking mentioned Fierceness 5-2, Sierra Leone 7-1, Forever Young 8-1, Deterministic 12-1, Catching Freedom 12, Dornick went off at 12, Just a Touch 22, all others 22 as well. At this point,
how many are left at the All Others category?
This is not the time to me to be playing All Others.
I don't think there was.
I played it last November. I got it pretty big.
Well, that's fine. We're April.
Exactly.
Unless
Fierceness will spoil my All Others from November if he wins. So.
Then some horses that did not get in. Tuscan Sky, 24-1, and I had an earlier ticket on him at 80.
So did I. I had him at like 40.
Anna Marie closed at 26-1. Stronghold 30. Just Steel 30. Mystic Dan 35. Endlessly 37. Domestic 40. Seize the Gray, who's not getting in, 42. BU, who was disappointing, 52.
Yes.
Track Phantom 53. Encino, 63. Uncle Heavy not getting in, 72. Resilience in, 76. Top Connor, no good, 80-1. Actually ran very well considering the pace that he set in the Bluegrass. Hades, who still has a chance to get in after the Lexington, 92-1. Catalytic, 99-1, exactly. El Grand O did not talk to Mig about the scratch, but Linda Rice got taken out pre-race, closed at 117. Those are dead. West Saratoga, 121-1. T.O. Password, 135-1. Evening News, no good, 147. Epic Ride, 156. He's sitting third. Epic Ride could yet get in.
Well, look what happened last year.
Exactly. Good Money, who did not run well in the Bluegrass, 157-1. Grandmo the First, who's the first sitting 21st, he should get in for Victor Barboza, 179-1. McVeigh, who really did not run well.
Not at all.
Trailed throughout in the Santa Anita Derby. He was 194-1. Common Defense, the longest price of horses that are in the Derby currently. No More Time, 277-1.
No, Society Man, 793.
Oh, look at him down there. That's right, Society Man, 793-1.
That I'm regretting I didn't put $2 in. Now, Rick Hammerly has the horse I like, Forever Young, at 40 to 1.
Right, yeah, I do.
That's
and I
good.
Have him at
quite
I have
good.
400 on him at 21-1.
That's a good. You know, the one
look
horse the bet in the bet that I missed is I liked Resilience
You mentioned that I heard.
I
that.
Liked him,
yes.
And then I didn't do this. So obviously, if you liked him, then you should have got this at 76-1. That was one that maybe got away as far as making a smart wager.
Yeah, because I remember you mentioning him.
Yeah.
The morning got away. This was an insane 3 hours that had the obligatory break. We've got three more hours tomorrow to wrap it up. Hammer, thanks for everything. We won't see you tomorrow, but it was fabulous.
He's like Ed McMahon.
It was. Hey-o.
Exactly.
It's a great run. There's no better place to be than Clocker's Corner for any length of time. And just remember, can't start a fire without a spark.
John, thanks for coming over again.
My pleasure.
I appreciate it. And tomorrow, Leo will be with us.
Oh.
Leo will co-host.
Wow.
Leo Vukmanovic tomorrow.
By the CEO?
A lot of fun.
Leo, by the CEO.
Oh, there she is.
Speaking of the producers. I have a cardboard belt.
The Ollie Stock and Bloom coming to you from Clocker's Corner. Thanks to Phil D'Amato and Gary Fenton, Mig, Eric Hallstrom, and I hope everybody has fun at Indy today. Also, of course, John and Brett Brinkman. Fabulous, Alva Star. Thanks, everybody. Replay 6 to 9 here on the network. Archive podcast later, etc. iTunes and Spotify, etc. And 6 to 9. What else? That's it. That's all I got. Talk to you in the morning.
Look up about noon today.
Nah, don't look too long. A quick glance.
Yeah, with a glass.
Watch it on the Indianapolis feed.
Make, there you go.
Make whatever Eric spent, and I can tell he spent plenty on this crazy filter. Make it worthwhile for Horseshoe Indianapolis. Watch their coverage. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.
Horsemen. Nominate now for Penn National's biggest day of the season, the $400,000 Grade 3 Penn Mile. In the $150,000 Penn Oaks will both be run Friday, May 31st, on a card that also includes two Pennsylvania bred stakes, each with a $100,000 purse. Call the racing office at Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse, 800-233-8238. That's 800-233-8238. Nominations close May 15th.
Racing two-year-olds in California and Kentucky, please consider Bleeder Shield. The leading all-natural paste used to greatly reduce or eliminate EIPH. The list of trainers who trust Bleeder Shield is endless. Shouldn't you join the team? To learn more, contact Joseph Vellante at 215-501-6880.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping,